Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for the morning, for the afternoon, and for this time. Please bless this time we have in your presence. I just pray especially, Lord, for Owen and Louise, that you would use this time to speak to them, Lord. I know they're considering a lot, but please put a good hand upon them. I know they need to be saved, but Lord, please, let your will be done. Do something in their lives. Pray too for Will and Norman and Monica and myself, that you'd bless us, that you would honour us as we honour you, that you'd be with Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank, Pat and Steve, but very especially, Lord, that Lord, the ball that Steve's having with his health right now, the strength that Pat needs to keep going. For all those that have been and gone, Lord, for those that have stepped away and sadly stepped down, I pray that you would restore them to fellowship, and to praise, and to service. That's our time now. Anybody that's standing to preach the full counsel of your word, or that's turned up in faith, Lord, to hear a word, I pray that you would supply your needs, Lord. Thank you for all these, for the Bible, for all these good old songs, and for this little bit of time. Please bless. Please be one of our number. Amen. 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 Was I saying to you whenever we were up at the Crescent Link, we met a fella up there called Owen, and he heard us out with the Ascending Norma. His wife is called Louise, and she was just diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And he heard the preaching and pulled back into the Crescent Link and asked for prayers. So pray for Owen and Louise. Said the cancer of Ascending Norma had wrapped itself around some aorta or artery in her chest, and they can't work at it, they can't take it all away. Thankfully, it hasn't spread. So, Owen and Louise, just remember that. Amen. Right. We're in the Wee Black Book. Wee Black Book. We're going to begin with All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Number 3 in the Wee Black Book. This is an old favorite of mine. There's one song I remember singing in primary school. This is it. All People That on Earth Do Dwell. We used to hunt me down to sing this at the front and sing the desk, can't I? The voice of an angel in the heart of the devil. Because you have hasn't changed. two minds whether to do number 75 or 77. We'll do 77. Still the night, only the night. This is a little bit of Christmas is coming. It'll be here about actually about 3 months and weeks time. So please get a wee bit of practice in now. Still the night, only the night. Hope I've got the right silent night.
Teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even the name of the Lord, that bought them, and bring upon themselves such destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, the reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not this angel of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a creature of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed for the filth and conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of contention, and to preserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise women, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not reeling accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural fruit beasts may be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall they perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they want count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, spoiling themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, the gathering of civil souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray from the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the witch of right upon righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells of white water, clouds that are carried before the tempest, to ruin the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swine words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in the air. By their promise of liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. But if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and become the latter and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered of them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow to that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Amen.
There's a name that you don't have to wonder about too much now, Balaam. Balaam or Balaam or whatever it is you want to call. The only prayer request the only thing I want to add to the prayer request is thanks that everything went well at the present link. And please do pray for Louise and the old daughter there. All these things happen for a reason. Just keep praying for those folks. Also pray for each other. Don't forget to pray for the Ritchie and the Hamilton family as well. We lost a mother and a wife and a granny. It's about 3 weeks ago now, isn't it? So please do pray for the Hamilton and the Ritchie families at this time. And don't forget each other at Absent Brethren. Pray for Steve especially. His health's giving him a lot of trouble right now. Just keep your eyes and your ears open and your wits about you. Say and do the right thing and be in the right place. And the Lord will be able to take and use what you get. Amen. Right. We need to sing another song, so let's take a big hymn books. We're going to sing one without music in just a minute, but first of all we're going to sing 277. 277, Only Trust.
Presence, fair, fair, sing with the Lord.
Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets, that they may be seen, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, that's our text for today. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Okay. Verse number 11, we'll have a quick look at a few of those points before we dwell on the subject matter of our daily bread. But amen, that's where we are. Would you pray first, please, if you would?
Yeah, Father, thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And Lord, we have forgive us as we come to you and your presence, Lord. We offer love, Lord, and guide us, and through the word, Lord, give us insight and guide us and draw us closer walk with you, Lord, God. We're passing ground, Lord, but move the kingdom of God, Lord, but line of thank, Lord, keep them safe and well, Lord, give thanks to the mother, protect them and guide them and mother as well, Lord. Call and charm, Lord. First of all, they give them protection, Lord, and also you guide them in their lives, Lord. Just in the call of John, Lord. Also, with Stephen Pat, Lord, with Steve's life and his health condition, Lord, do not worship, take away any pain and discomfort or anything that might upset them, Lord. We pass you to you, give us respite, Lord, give us strength, Lord, and we're going to keep our primarily give strength to Steve, Lord, and help us to get better. And with Louise and with all, Lord, with Louise and with esophagus cancer, Lord, you help her, Lord, and Lord, heal her, Lord. If not, Lord, that you may give the wisdom to the surgeons and to the doctors that you may heal her and give up the cancer, Lord, heal her. And Lord, may you see her healing, Lord, that you may direct Louise and all to you, Lord, and may the great calling that you may save the souls that they might make that decision, Lord, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be repentant of sins and be full of glory, prosperous sins through permission, Lord. Lord, give Marcus come to love the gospel, Lord, give him strength, Lord, and give him a purpose for our Lord, and guide us to the word, Lord, and open our hearts, Lord, and give us closer walk to you. Give us thanks for our praises and service by accepting your side, Lord, for our glory, for our faith, Christ, again.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure we've all heard of the Lord's Prayer. People call it the Lord's Prayer. And we all know it, don't we? We can probably say it in our sleep whilst we're thinking about what we're making for the tea and what we're going to have to do by way of our chores today. In fact, sadly, this little portion of Scripture has become the very thing that the Lord warned us against of being repetition. Now, the Lord gives us some direction in this portion of His Word on how we should approach Him. In other words, we're not to say, oh, look at me, I can talk to God, and God is listening to me. That's not the way we're supposed to go. It's supposed to be an ordinary, everyday thing with us. Like praying, making a point of praying before your food. I would pray inwardly to myself when I'm in the house, but I would pray out loud whenever I'm out and about, because when there's nobody else around to see, I know I'm talking to God, but whenever I'm out and about, people need to know that people still talk to God. I don't say it to look good at me, I say it to bring it to the public awareness. But we are not to make a big song and dance of the fact, oh, we're Christian and we're better than everybody else, because we're not. As far as everything goes, we're sinners, just like everybody else, but we're sinners saved by grace. That's the difference between us and the lost soul. We have the good sense to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to repent of our sins, and to trust in Christ as Saviour. And whenever we do that, when we genuinely repent of our sins, that means it's like us reaching into our hearts and tearing those sins out and allowing, giving that space over to the Holy Spirit. And once you do that, you have, I was going to say, we were talking about different forms of communication, copper, fiber optic, etc. You don't just have copper, or you have fiber optic, super duper fast communications network to God Almighty. And through that, he can give you, he can make good on all of the promises he makes to us, not just in eternity, but right now. I know I mentioned these in the past, but there are so many things that God says, if you do this, I'll give you this. If you turn up at the foot of the cross, I'll save your soul. If you read your Bible and commit verses of scripture to your heart, I'll give you strength. I'll give you wisdom. I'll put the pieces together in your mind and it'll make sense to you. It'll give you a better handle on life. There's so much stuff like that. But it all starts with prayer. And I believe there is a prayer or a type of prayer that the Lord hears from a lost person. I believe the Lord hears, are you really out there, God, from a lost man? If you're really there, Lord, would you? The prayers of a lost person seeking for the God that calls everybody. I honestly believe God hears those prayers and answers them. He did it for me. Years ago, before I was saved, about just before I was saved, I went to that wee church just up in Glengormley, it was. And the Lord was greatly convicting me of needing to be saved. And as I was walking, the church was set down, and you had to walk down a bit like that on a little sort of a bit of roadway that was set at an angle. And I said, as I walked down there, just in my head, God, these folks don't know a bit about me. If you're really there, would you have your minister preach on such and such a subject? And I never gave it a second thought until I was in and sitting down, and we sang a few songs, and we were listening to the minister, and he said, the title for the message tonight is, just like I did. And I thought, he's not going to be, God's not real. He's not real. And I had my little ha-ha moment. And then halfway through his service, he started speaking about the subject that I had mentioned to God. And that shut me up. It took me at the point of my victory over God and showed me, gently, that God indeed was much, much greater than me. And it wasn't too long after that that I trusted Christ as my Saviour. I believe God hears the prayers of those that are crying out to him. And I believe he hears the prayers of the soul that cries out for salvation. And I believe he hears the prayers of all of those people. The hurt, the stymied, the confused, the discouraged. I believe he hears all of those prayers of his children. And he is more than happy to deliver them their daily bread. We need to remember something. Our prayers are not just about us, but they are allowed to be about us. They should be about, we should remember first of all who it is that we're talking to. It's not like, hey Lord, give us a high five and we're good buds. That's definitely not it. You wouldn't say that to the Queen of England. You'd probably be, if you went like that, if you raised your hand and ran towards the King of England, sorry, you probably have like five or six big guys with guns landing on top of you. Maybe a few rounds flying through your body. You don't do that. You be respectful. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Heavenly Father, we need to remember who it is we're talking to. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but he's not someone we can yank his chain. There's no way we can prank him. He's not that sort of a friend. He is a real and true friend. In fact, I think he summed it up in one of the scriptures. The reference escapes my mind, but it said, greater love hath no man than this. You know the next part that is? That a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest love that a man can have in this world, that he would lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus went one better, and he laid down his life for his enemies. That is the measure of him that created us, that gives even the murderer and the pedophile and the liar and the thief and the adulterer and the drug taker and the traffic warden and the policeman and the teacher and the judge all exactly the same opportunity to come to the foot of the cross. He loves everyone because in his eyes we're all sinners. It might be a different shade of sin that we love, but we're all sinners because we just are. So we need to bear in mind who it is that we're talking to. He's our creator. He would love to be our saviour. And sadly, for most of the world, he will be their judge. And we are to pray for the coming of his kingdom. Do you know this bit of time that we're in tonight? It's the 18th of September 2022. And for everybody that hasn't been in a coma for the past 3 or 4 years, 5 years, since 2016, whenever the world seemed to be on the up and up. And then in 2020, it's like someone pulled the rug out from underneath the world, and we're not talking about COVID. And we're not talking about the fabricated panic and lockdowns, the literal gutting of every society in the face of the world. We're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. We are talking about not it being a Christian country. We're talking about it being a Christian world. We're talking about the time after this little bit of time, the time after the rapture, and the time after the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. We're talking about the 1,000-year reign of God Almighty in the face of this world, and how that you and I that are saved will rule and reign with him. We're talking about that time. We're talking about that kingdom where he comes down and rules with a rod of iron. That's what we're supposed to pray for. Thy kingdom come, and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine a place where the right thing is all said and done. Wouldn't that be right? Wouldn't that be class? Wouldn't that just save so much bother? Imagine a place where people, that man that attacked Norman's cousin with an industrial strimmer and caused him to chip a bone in his neck, break his hip, and nearly killed him by lacerating his face and neck with an industrial strimmer. I'm just saying to Norman, I've seen what that does to PVC. Look, even a wee strimmer like mine will eat through it in a second. Imagine that in your face. When people like that, they're not going to be out in bail waiting for a judge to get back to them because the justice system is back to them. Justice will be instant. And a man that attempts to kill and only doesn't kill someone because he failed to make sure of the job will not be walking around without bail. He will be instantly put to death. And there will be many people that will see that and will immediately correct their ways and consider what it is that they do. I think I came across a verse. Remember I told you about that wee verse that says when justice is delayed, there's no fear of the law. And that's just where we are. We need to remember. We are praying for the coming of the Lord God Almighty. When the world will be like a Sunday every day, like the old Sundays, when people will be respectful and courteous, we're praying for that. We pray for the whole world. We pray and pray for the Lord's will to be done. That should be our call. We're also supposed to pray for what they call short accounts with God. Because even though we were saved, I don't know about you, but my life hasn't been perfect since I got saved. I've lost my temper. I have let people down. I have sinned against God. I have broken His commandments. That's since I have been saved. And when, if you keep on living like that, it's literally a step farther and farther away each day from God. Because you and I that are saved have a choice. We can choose to live like an animal, or we can choose to live like the Son of God, or as a child of God. We can choose. Everybody else, they don't have a choice. But you and I that are saved do. And we need to pray the Lord each day that He forgives us for letting Him down. And be real about it. Not just, oh Lord, I did this and I'm going to do it again today. Would you please forgive me? That's the Catholic Church. When you can murder a man and go to confession and the priest can't tell it to anybody, and then you walk away thinking, well, I can go and do that again because I went to the priest. That's not the way forgiveness works. That is not repentance. That's just, sorry I was caught a bit by the conscience and this will take. That's not the way it works. We are called to ask the Lord for repentance. We are called to be repentant of letting Him down. In fact, remember we were talking about Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother whenever he comes and when he does something to me? 7 times. And the Lord said, no, not 7 times, remember? But 70 times 7. In other words, keep forgiving him. The Lord will forgive us. We actually need to go and ask for that forgiveness. We're also commanded to pray for help. And not doing the wrong things. And that help will come in one of two ways. That help will come in the reminder of a scripture verse. And the Lord will say in your head, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Choice is up to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk towards the world? Are you going to walk towards me? It'll come like that. Or it'll be an instance of the thing is gone from you forever. You won't have that inclination. I've heard of men that used to smoke and to drink and to curse and to swear, who whenever they came to the Lord and prayed earnestly for those things, that God literally took them away overnight. And I heard of other men, that a man that loved to smoke, started out, he was a fearsome chain smoker. And he would smoke outside of the church, and then the Lord worked upon him. If people see you smoking outside the church, that'll look bad. So he didn't smoke outside the church. He smoked before he came into church. And then he smoked whenever he got home. And then you see his job was as a bus driver. And so he would have smoked in the old days on the bus. And he would always have the packet of cigarettes in the breast pocket of his shirt. So the Lord said you shouldn't even be smoking in front of the children. So what he did instead of that was he put his wee pocket Bible in there instead of his cigarettes, and every time he felt like a cigarette, he pulled the Bible out and he read a chapter. And it took him a bit of time, but God gave him a way to overcome that, and God will do the same to you. And the Lord, sometimes it will be gone completely, and you will walk past something and it'll struggle to grab a hold of you and to hold you down, you'll not be able to. The Lord will provision you and help you. We're supposed to pray for that. Help us. Forgive us our trespasses. And even better than that, the Lord will give you the ability to forgive other people whenever they do stuff against you. And they will. Some things won't bother you. Some things you'll have to work on. And some things will take extra measures to let those things go. But the Lord says it'll help you. One other thing we need to remember is we're not here to build our own kingdom. We're here to invite people into God's kingdom. And the very last verse says, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a thing that's going to last forever. Every single thing you do for Jesus is going to be remembered forever in heaven. And we ought to remember that. But that is where our forever and ever is. And that is where we should store up. That's the idea. I don't know about you, but 4 verses in Matthew chapter 6 doesn't quite cover all of my prayer requests, all of my needs, my wants, my feelings, and those of all of the people that I have spoken to or that have given me their prayer requests on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Wednesday or when we're having a cup of tea. I think Paul put it very well in the book of Philippians whenever he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, to prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Fear seems to be a big thing at the moment. All the powers that be in the world have done a great job in making people fearful, haven't they? They destroyed so many relationships over the past couple of years. Oh, you're not allowed to go and visit your family. You're not allowed to go and visit the elderly. You're not allowed to help anybody, because you'll die if you do that. That was the subtext. Wear 15 masks. Wear a deep sea diving suit. I'm talking about one of the big mechanized ones. Send the information to them from a rocket coming from orbit so there can be no germs on it. That's literally what they want. They made it impossible or cripplingly fearful for people to talk to each other, to help each other. And that's what people need. Social networking is no good. The only social networking that works is the stuff where you knock on someone's door and come in and have a cup of tea with them. Sometimes you have to bring a bun, but it's okay. If you're getting a tea made, the bun's not a big deal. You need to pray. The thing that's killing people today is fear. The Bible talks about it, about men's hearts failing them for fear. And they are. For the fear of dying with a made-up, man-made virus, how many young people are dying of heart attacks? You're not talking about a half a dozen. You're talking about thousands. Young people dying. Their hearts failing them. For fear. That's exactly what's going on around the world as a result of all of these, a lot of these vaccines that people were taking. It actually had a very real physical effect upon them. God does not want that for his children. And you could have a dozen things running around your head. I have as well. And there are things you might not want to talk to anybody about. And you're quite right. But you should talk to God about them. And I found the best way to do that is lying flat on my back on a bed, on top of the bed, because if you get into it, you'll be asleep before you know it. And tell God everything. In your head, don't even have to say it out loud. Just bear in mind, even when your phone's sitting beside you, if it's on data, Google and Amazon and Facebook are probably listening in to everything you say. In your head, Lord, I've been having bad thoughts. I want to twist thick heads off, stupid shoulders, and play football with them in the street. Could you please help me? Lord, I'm very disappointed in such and such a person. Would you help me and help them? Lord, I'm having a problem with my weight. Lord, I'm having a problem with my health. Lord, I'm having a problem with my relationship. Lord, I'm having a problem with my landlord. Lord, I'd love for that shed across the yard to burn to a crisp with everybody else. We all have these thoughts. Some of them are not pleasant. There's a reason the Lord says that even if you look upon a man or a woman to lust after them in your heart, you've committed adultery. This is where the sins start and this is where the sins take place. Before our hands even get involved, the sin takes place in our minds. And these are the things that we need to reveal to God. Anyone here ever had an old boy? Remember having boys when you were in Europe? And your mother or your granny made an old bread poultice. And it was scalding hot. And then they put it in your bare skin. And they wrap it on. And that always drew the poison out. I used to have one there, and any time my blood got too rich, too much sugar, it still affects me today, I would get a boil there. And I remember having getting this out, poked this on, and I drew it out, and I had a wee plastic plane that had a wee nose, needle nose on it. And I remember wanting to get this thing going. I just stuck it in, and I actually went the whole way in, and it didn't hurt. And I thought, oh dear. So I started squeezing this, and all this out, dirty, filthy pus came out, and I was wiping it away and wiping it away. It took a few minutes to get it cleaned out. My goodness. Then I ran it under the tap, and let the fresh air out of it, and before you knew it, that was that. There's a reason the Bible says the hearts of man are desperately wicked. And that's what goes on in our hearts and minds, and that is why we need to bring those things to God's attention. So if he can squeeze the pus out of it, and he can give us rest from that, you might think, well, how is that? Years ago, not that very many years ago, if I ever have too much rich food, I would start to break out in a boil just there in my nose, somewhere there, just between that part of my nose. And the head of it would always be on the inside. That's as sore as all get out. And I remember one night my whole nose had gone red. And I was lying in my bed and my heart wouldn't stop beating. I think it was actually, might not have been very well. But I got up, and I put my finger in, and I could feel the top on. And I put my nail to it and ripped the top of it off. And the pus and the blood started pouring out. I was literally putting my nose down like that, and the pus was coming out. It was filthy. But do you see, as soon as that was all gone, the redness in my nose was going away by the next morning. The pain was going away. And it seemed like the poison had left that part of my head. And that is why God says, don't you be worrying about stuff or taking it upon your own shoulders. In everything, with all of those thoughts, with all of those deeds, with all of the circumstances that are around you, that you're responsible for, or others are responsible for, with your finances, with your health, with your career, with your walk with the Lord, with your church, with your Bible verses, with your relationships, your children, your parents, all of it. Talk to God about it. And once you do, you're talking to the one man that can do something about everything you talk to him about. Whether he says, here's the strength to deal with that, here's the comfort from not having to worry about that, or, tell you what, I'm going to do something in that person's life, and I'll sort it out for you. There is a multitude of ways on a multitude of different levels that God operates that are so far beyond us as we are beyond the little ants that crawl around your feet and we never even see them. Why would you not speak to him and tell him those things? Sometimes it's the prayer of not. Remember Nehemiah in the presence of Artaxerxes? He had a long face on because he heard news from Jerusalem. The old homestead was in rack and ruin. And he comes before the king. The king says, what's wrong with you, Nehemiah? And you weren't allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. Your life could be forfeit. And the Bible says, I prayed the Lord, the God of heaven, and said, O king, live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city of my forefathers lies in ruins? And the king said, tell me what you want and I'll sort it right out. And he wrote him letters and it was all sorted. He had spent days praying. Before he had done the big long prayers, he had also done the wee short prayers. We have a need, not just one outsider. Does anyone remember what the title for the message is? It's okay, I have to think about our daily bread. It's every day. Bible, there's a little, I think it's in one of the Psalms where it says, his mercies are new every morning. New every morning. Great is his faithfulness. even when ours are not great.
To absolve yourself, is that the right word? To offload the many worries that we have on our minds as much as we can.
We ought to, every day, pray about the things that we need, the things that bother us, our own feelings, and our walk with God. Every day. Every day. We are a daily person. We do the same thing every day, don't we? We rest, we wash, we eat, we drink. We do our job. We move around and do stuff. We influence the world a little bit, or we let it influence us. But we need the food and the sustenance every day. And the Lord said, man shall not live. We can exist that way, but we will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need time with God every day.
I'm not a great one for the BBC website. There are a few things that it's still reliable for. It's a left-wing propaganda rag, and that's just the long and short of it, but you can still pretty much depend upon it for its computer science news and its weather. One blue moon a few years back, well, actually two blue moons, I was flicking through the medical section, and they said, as if they had discovered this just 5 or 10 years ago, that it has been proven that devout Christians, and when I say devout, I mean people that will actually go to church and read their Bibles and say their prayers, actually have a better quality of life than people that don't. Just that time, reading the Word of God now, and spending time in His presence, even quieted and away from the world, contemplating and considering yourself, and letting yourself relax, my goodness, they have found that it's good for you. And that even the unburdening, they say, a problem shared is a problem halved, but okay, and if that's between you and somebody else, what about to God? It's infinitely bigger than we are. A problem given to God is a problem sorted out. You know where our problem comes? There's a lot of times we don't give the problem to God. We say, God, I have this problem, but I want to feel this guy's bones crunch beneath my face. I want to stick my boot up his rear end and just let him know that I told him so. And so, sometimes we have to go multiple times to God. And even say that, Lord, you know what, I really want to ring that wee devil's neck. Or I want to set fire to that thing across the road. I don't really. I'm saying these things up here because in our deepest, darkest thoughts, we are deep and dark creatures. Otherwise, this world would be a perfect place. It's better for us to take that time. You consider all the people that spent time in the presence of God. You had Moses, 40 days up on the mountain, his face literally glowed whenever he came back down again. Remember, was it Elijah? Running through the desert. Sustenance from God kept him going for 40 days across the desert. All the times people have spent time with God. I have come away many a Sunday when I was working 40 and 50 hours a week for Desmond's and looking after the church. My Sunday afternoons after I ate were spent in prayer. And then getting up and writing down the notes that I had, the thoughts that came to me about a message. And whenever I got up, I wasn't exhausted from working all week and studying all Saturday and then getting up to preach in the morning and eating, and then I was refreshed from spending time in the presence of God. And if you don't do it for me, you don't do it for anybody. In fact, all the promises that are in the Bible, there's no proviso on them. It doesn't say, if you're a pastor, I'll do this for you. It literally says, if you turn up, I will do this for you. One of the other things that they discovered on the BBC website was not to think negative thoughts. And this was a wonderful A wonderful psychological discovery that the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, had discovered that was so much better for people. And I thought, hold on a wee second. That's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. In Philippians chapter 4, just after Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, verse number 8 says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and true, honest, whatsoever things are just, if there is any virtue or any praise, think on these things, the Bible says. Let me just see what the promise of God is whenever you do that. Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 8. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. How's about that? And it's not just that one. That's for anybody. Back in the old days, you couldn't order your groceries online. You actually had to go to the shop. Now, if you didn't go to the shop, didn't get any groceries. Not right. If you don't go online and do that, you don't get any groceries now. If you don't take God at his word, if you don't turn up in God's presence, you are robbing yourself of an opportunity for God to... All I can say is make you the best version of yourself. To make you the son of God that he knows that you can be, or the daughter of God that he knows that you can be. And it's not an all-in-one go. Wouldn't it be great if it was, and you got saved, and you said one prayer, and you were perfect, and you never made another mistake? That would be wonderful. It's coming. But it's not an all-in-one go. It's our daily bread. It was like me taking a full year to get back on my feet. It's one day at a time. It's like getting fit to work in the church after I was back on my feet. It was one day at a time. It was walking, it was sit-ups, it was push-ups, it was lifting. Tiny wee light weights. Tiny wee light weights. Maybe the weight of a bag or two of sugar was all I could manage whenever I started. It was one day at a time, and it's becoming a good child of the King of Kings. It's a task that's accomplished one day at a time. With God delivering you your daily bread. Take him at his word. He runs, he operates an open door policy, and he will accept anybody. And he will entertain any request. Any request. Might shut it down, but he'll certainly entertain it. And he will help you. If you listen to him, if you take on what he says, he will help you. And if there was ever a time in the whole history of mankind, let me tell you folks, today is the day when we have needed God's help more than any other time in human history. Right now. In Europe, during the Second World War, 6 million Jewish people were murdered by the Nazis, by the fascists. And they were helped in no small amount by the German people, who just let it happen. A few stood up and a few lost their lives, but most of them let it happen. And that was awful. And that enraged many people like ourselves, sitting on our little island, very well insulated from it all. But right now, this time in the history of man, the devil has got his claws and his fingers into everything, and he's affecting us all. There has been a massive reaping of souls, a massive loss of life, a massive influx, if that's the right word, of fear, and a massive departure from the word of God, the very thing that will proof us against running around like headless chickens. The very thing that will help every single soul is the very thing that people are running away from. But I urge you, even when you go to your bed, if you're having trouble sleeping, go and see God about it. God, I can't sleep. You know what he'll say? Why don't we just chat away? And I guarantee you, before too long, you'll be out for a count and have one of the best nights' sleep you'll ever have.
anything and everything, every day of your life, until the day you stand before Him in glory. You need Him, and He is more than up to the task. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Well, sing a song. We have an open slot. You got a suggestion, Norman? We did well a run earlier on. If you have one, we'll sing it. If not, Will looks like he's. I think Will's Jesse James from a previous life. You want to let him shoot? Or have you got one? You got one now? Go for it, Paul.
Number two.
Mrs. B, you're up. That's the blessed old book. Let's stand as we sing this blessed old book. Things at your feet, Father, and we look forward to the next time we get to meet together.